Welcome back to Legally Judgy. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa.
All right. So what do we have this week? What do we need to tell the people about?
Oh, right to it.
Yeah.
No pleasantries.
No pleasantries. No foreplay. Get in there. That felt aggressive.
Whoa. You really are on a roll, New Yorker, today. Wow.
I spent a bit too much time on the East Coast this summer.
Buy me a dinner and a drink first. I'm a lady.
No, you're not.
Let's get into the judgy announcements, per usual. Y'all might get tired of it. Fast forward if you must, but you shouldn't, because we need to shout out our Patreon. It is a big launch for us. Season 2, we got the Patreons going. We got uncut episodes. You get the Season 1 personalized intros. You get some new segments in there. We're not going to give too much away, because you need to sign up if you want to nose. We have a community hub. You get some behind-the-scenes footage. You get some personalized polls. You get to talk to Nicole and I in a more intimate setting. Despite what she said about foreplay, I'm all for talking first. So let's get to know each other. We also got some fun mini-sodes where we talk about some basically just more fun shit that has happened in the world that week.
Yeah.
And I find them very entertaining, which means you guys all must find them entertaining.
And we've also got the YouTubes now. So if you have not seen our faces on our Instagram, you get to see our faces on YouTube. And we do full pop culture breakdowns of just various things that are happening that are funny and lighthearted, all that shit. We've also got our episodes up on YouTube. If you're not Spotify, Apple, Pandora, Amazon accessible, we don't judge. We've got our shit everywhere. So come get into the fun with us.
Please do.
All right, so this week's topic. So we are getting into one of the Kardashians, but not really a Kardashian.
Kardashian adjacent? Is that appropriate?
Adjacent, yes, that's right.
They're definitely Kardashian adjacent.
Yes, we're talking about Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Jenner.
She's got some issues.
Ken.
She's got a lot of issues, mostly that she's just a part of the Kardashian family, which Ken I think must be a lot for any human to withstand.
I mean, she's been in the limelight since she was a wee child.
Prepubescent, yeah, she was a babe.
Like 12-ish? I don't know, she's always been 6 foot tall to me.
She's been tall, yeah.
Most people seem 6 feet tall to me, though.
I mean, you're short, sorry.
Like 3 inches, it's fine. I know, I need a little steppy stool everywhere I go. Kendall does not, though.
No.
She seems like the nicest. She's not really in the limelight. Like, she's not big on social media. Like, you don't really hear about her unless she's modeling, right? I don't really know. I actually don't have any strong opinions on her either way.
She seems like the most normal, I guess. She doesn't seem like a diva. Let me say that.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got some diva tendencies, right? Because she's literally modeled around the world and she's on the show and she makes millions of dollars a year, but she seems the most reserved and like, I'm just going to do my own thing.
Right.
I don't need all this.
Couple PR misses, which we'll get into. So I guess that's my only critique of her is to try to be more of a human being.
More aware, more woke.
Right. But you grow up so privileged. She is white. How are you going to know some of the stuff is off color unless...
Read the news.
Yeah, it do better.
It feels like a very, real low-hanging bar, but fine.
No excuse by any means, but also with the people that she's grown up around and with.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay. It doesn't not make sense,
Tell us about Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Nicole, shout out to Nicole, my co-host. She was born in 1995 in L.A. She's the daughter of Kris Jenner, who is the former wife of Robert Kardashian. And if you've been living under a rock, he was a big-time Hollywood attorney.
Who repped OJ.
And got him off. So you know he was a very good attorney.
He's a good one.
And Kris has become the ultimate momager because she's really made a business out of her children.
Out of selling her children,
And, okay, so Kendall, daughter of Kris Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner, who was a former Olympic decathlete, champion, and TV personality, who recently had a failed attempt at running for California governor.
Go Newsom. Had to throw that out there.
Are we allowed to be political on here?
I like Gavin.
I think it's okay to say we did not want Caitlyn Jenner running our state.
Gavin's just a good-looking man.
Is that the way we vote now?
No, obviously not. I just think it's...
So Trump, for many reasons, is down on your list.
Bottom of the list. That orange... Not that Biden is like a looker, but...
But the orange tan and the hair in quotation marks on Trump.
Yeah.
Fun fact for you, coming in early. Her middle name was a tribute to Kris's best friend, Nicole Brown Simpson.
Which is sad. R.I.P.
Little, Little, yeah. I mean, if you're a Gen Zer and you don't know who that is, go look it up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, so Kendall basically only becomes known because she's a sister of the Kardashian kids and was on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which debuted in 2007. And she's on there for like a good chunk of her childhood. I think she starts around like 12-ish.
First of all, can I just say it's really offensive that you're not calling her self-made, Nicole?
Because oh, she's self-made?
She's only become famous because of her sisters.
I don't know if you're self-made when you're on a show starting at 12, but okay.
If Kylie's self-made, she can be a self-made model.
Kylie's also not self-made.
Forbes said, and whatever Forbes says is true.
Okay, so speaking of, Kendall is the older sister of Kylie, who we obviously, like most people know, right? She's got this huge makeup line. She's with Travis Scott. Whatever, don't care. Kendall don't also do not care.
I like Travis Scott, though.
I do love He's Travis. I just don't care about Kylie. Okay. So Kendall also has four older half-siblings through her mom, Chris. And so that's Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, and Rob, who are all from Robert Kardashian.
Okay.
And then she's got three half-siblings on Caitlyn's side who literally nobody cares about unless you're talking about Brody, who was on The Hills, Laguna Beach, all of these things. Mm-hmm. Which is now funny that he was on Laguna Beach to begin with, now that we know where they live and how far apart those places are.
Yeah, because in LA traffic, that's like a couple hours in rush hour.
When There's I was no in way. Michigan, I was like, all these places, like all this.
They're right
thing.
Next
like,
door.
It's just like a town over.
And now you know that you could be 2 miles away from someplace and it could still take you 2 hours to get there.
1,000%.
For sure. But he was like a friend of the show, I will say, right? Because didn't he start as like someone's friend?
Or was
he like a full on cast member from the beginning?
He was a cast member on LB.
Oh, on LB, it's The Hills that he was like the friend of.
Mm-hmm. Because he was like kind of talking to Kristen and then kind of not. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Okay, go on.
So Kendall was always kind of awkward and quiet on the show. Like we said, she started off fairly young. She was 12.
I think I'd be too at 12.
Like, at 12, I was just making up dances and I don't know, going
like,
forever 21.
Look what I can do.
Time.
And you're like tap dancing horribly.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so they grow up a little bit outside of LA, actually, in Calabasas, which most people know because they always show the Calabasas sign on the show. And so Kendall ends up going to a rich private school until she switches to homeschooling so that she can model. And so she starts modeling at the age of 13 with Wilhelmina Models.
Chris really likes to start them young, huh?
Mm-hmm.
13. Mm-hmm. She was like, you're a teen. Time to get to work.
Time to get those coins,
It's like
girl.
The farmland. Yeah. Can you pick up a shovel? We'll
okay.
get.
Wow. Okay. So Kendall's first campaign is with Forever 21 back in 2009 and 2010. And then she does a Teen Vogue shoot in 2010. And so after this, she starts to do some like rising model gigs, which are like, you know, she's coming onto the scene, but she's not doing like Giselle, Adriana Lima kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so she walks in the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week and she models in some smaller projects for magazines like Harper's Bazaar Arabia and Miss Vogue Australia.
I thought that's small.
I mean,
I'm not in the fashions, but I've heard of Harper's Bazaar and Vogue.
I'm sorry. Are you getting reached out to do Harper's Bazaar?
That's my
Arabia?
Point. I'm saying it's funny that for them, this is like up and coming.
Fair.
Right? Because I couldn't even do a Kmart commercial, to be clear. Right? Mm-hmm, so, thank you for pointing out that I wouldn't be in these fashion shows.
Sorry, my friend. So Kendall also ends up signing with the Society Management in 2013 so that she can begin to do like high fashion work instead of editorial work. And so after she signs with them, she ends up doing a bunch of really, really big shows like Marc Jacobs, Diane von Furstenberg, Fendi, Balmain, etc. But then she still kind of does some high-end editorial work along the way, like Interview Magazine, Love, Teen Vogue, and some other campaigns.
Teen Vogue's the only one I recognized.
Oh, okay.
Do you know the other ones?
Interview and Love? Yeah. Yeah,
Are
I
they,
do.
They're big. Okay. I don't know. I just want to play with my Pokemon.
Sorry. So Kendall ends up graduating high school in 2014. At the same time, she buys her first property, which is a cute 2-bedroom, 2.5 bathroom condo for a cool $1.4 million, which is super fun since, you know, we're in our 30s and still haven't bought anything.
So 2014, she's like 29.
No, she had just 19. She had just graduated high school. Yes.
My bad. I can't do maths. The math isn't math. And that's ridiculous because I think my first job was when I was like 18, 19. I was working at as a cashier at Kohl's. And I certainly, shockingly, could not afford a $1.4 million home based off the minimum wage that I was getting paid there. Though, I will say shout out to Zillow and Redfin for letting me bookmark my future homes.
For letting you aspire to be rich?
Yeah. Can I borrow $5 million?
I don't have it. No, don't ask me.
That's what it's looking like right now.
Nope. So her modeling continues. And so in 2015, things really start to blow up for her. And so she starts walking in shows like Chanel and Alexander Wang, Oscar de la Renta, Victoria's Secret, and like truly hundreds of others.
Okay.
And she continues to do editorial work. So she stays in like the Harper's Bazaar, GQ's, Vogue's, and like a number of countries and Vanity Fair. And then she also does some campaigns for larger companies. So all of that being said, in 2015, she's number 16 on Forbes' list of top earning models and gets approximately $4 million for modeling that year.
That's crazy to me that that's like top earning. I don't know why I would think
models that don't make models that much money. More. They don't make a lot.
Right. And she's also presumably making a lot. Probably making more money outside of modeling.
For
right?
sure, like on campaign.
Her brand.
Yeah,
for like social media posts. And things right. like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
But then shortly after, right, in 2017, she becomes named the world's highest paid model. And she even beats out Gisele Bündchen, who is married to Tom Brady, who had been the top of the list for 14 years.
That's
14 years.
That's sad.
That's insane.
I feel bad for Gisele, though.
Why? She's gorgeous.
Dethroned by a... Jenner?
Somebody who's young and gorgeous and up and coming. I mean, I think that's right.
Are you
After
Kendall
14
fan?
Years? No, but I just think, like, you've been in the top for 14.
I know. I think
somebody's going to have to dethrone you.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's just the Tom Brady thing's a little sour. I hate Tom Brady. I know you love Tom Brady. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
That's like the one rift in our friendship.
Okay,
go
on.
I don't want to hear about it.
So after that, Kendall is named one of People's 50th most beautiful people in the world and then was also, like, the second most Googled model around the same time. I don't know who number
Claim
one
to
was.
Fame. Yeah,
maybe
I want to
Gisele
know.
Still?
Gisele. They're like, yeah. What happened to Gisele
now
that she's
Gisele?
Been dethroned? Is she old now?
Right.
So aside from modeling, she's ventured into other businesses because what Kardashian Jenner wouldn't when you have Momager Chris on your heels? And look, in some instances, they've panned out. In others, they haven't, you know, due to lawsuits or PR issues. But let's get into some highlights and lowlights.
Do it.
She does a lot with her little sister, Kylie. She has a clothing line with her at PacSun in 2012. Do you know what PacSun is?
Pacific Sunwear.
Okay, that's not what I meant, but good. You know what it is. Do you have them? Have you ever been in one?
What's that sport? Surfing. It's a surfing store.
Did you just act like a little fish?
I was thinking
fin?
Skateboarding, but I was like, that's not it. But I think they also do some skateboarding stuff too, right?
They do.
So
yeah,
it's like
a Tilly's
surfer.
Since you now know what Tilly's is.
Only recently,
because
yes.
we told you what Tilly's yeah. was. Okay, so she did a Kendall Kylie collab with Topshop in 2013. RIP Topshop.
Yeah.
2014, she co-authored a book with Kylie called Rebels, City of Indra, with a ghostwriter.
Do you think it was the same ghostwriter Drake uses?
Probably. They probably do like a group order, like at Costco when you buy in bulk. They probably...
On Etsy? Choose,
yeah. They all just share the same ghostwriter.
Fair.
And then they share the cut. They're like Venmo requesting from the other person. Like, hey, pay the ghostwriter. 2016, they launch an app... them being Kylie and Kendall, because again, they're attached at the hip. It was actually a spinoff of Big Sissy's Kim's very successful app called Kim Kardashian Hollywood, which we've talked about in a season one episode, which was a lot less successful though.
Because
like Kim's app is shockingly successful.
It's crazy. Like, I don't understand who's paying for this shit.
Tens of millions to become like...
If you're somebody who pays for the Kim game...
They might be listening.
Please cancel that game and come on over to our Patreon. We promise that you will learn, laugh, and have way more fun.
For a second, I got very scared about what you were about to say.
No,
but I agree with that.
Come over to us.
They sued a medical company for $10 million for... I'm so used to Kylie and Kendall being together. But just Kendall, she sues a medical company for $10 million for using her brand without authorization to promote their acne treatment, which
I mean, she was on the record about having bad skin.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to be in our list. She
not completely libelous.
Proactive later, but you know, the point is you need to pay to use someone's likeness.
Fair.
We talked about this concept a lot in season one, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just use someone's face plastered on your company and think that you don't need to get permission from them, one, or pay them a cut because they're obviously making more money because they see Kendall. And they go, I want to use what Kendall uses. She has beautiful skin. That's not good.
Yeah.
2017, this is what I really want to talk about today. The big year for her in many ways. So as part of their Kendall Kylie lifestyle brand, they launch a line of vintage, in quotes, t-shirts. Basically,
not vintage at all, but fine, go ahead.
$125 t-shirts that had logos and pictures of famous musicians and bands. We're talking about Tupac, The Doors, Metallica, Pink Floyd, the Notorious B.I.G.
I love that song. Okay, go ahead.
And then they disrespected them by superimposing their own faces and their brand initials, KK.
It was bad.
Kylie and Ken.
They just needed one more K to really set it off.
It was a very dangerous, slippery slope. We're glad that we got the manufacturing right on that one. In a bright highlighter color, too, by the way, because the shirts are like black, right?
Yeah.
And then it would be like bright highlighter yellow or bright highlighter pink of their faces or the letters over like Tupac.
Yeah.
Or over Biggie.
Yeah.
Or over, you know, the Doors, right? There's other people. They actually get a bunch of cease and desist letters. Shocking. Cease and desist. Mm-hmm. Lawyers going, hey, cut that Stop shit that out. Shit.
Yep.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking. So the estate of Notorious B.I.G. and the manager of the Doors are both two huge people that decided, like, we're going to send you cease and desists. And we're going to say, if you do not, we're going to sue you.
Taking you to court, my friends.
Stop that, you silly goose. And on top of this, they're heavily criticized by the public.
The media literally tore them apart.
It was ridiculous.
It was truly like, it was a shame.
So tone deaf. Shame.
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 Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Jinx, you owe me soda.
Telepathy.
They took the tease down like the next day. Yeah. So it didn't take long. They issued an apology. In quotes, these designs were not well thought out, and we deeply apologize to anyone that has been upset and or offended, especially to the families of the artists.
Super genuine.
Right? Just like a good old, like, it reminds me of a Snapchat. Just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was on Instagram. They posted it. It was a real post. It wasn't an IG story that disappears after 24 hours. But still, this didn't satisfy everybody because they get sued a couple times. You want to tell us about one?
No, you go. I feel like you love a good lawsuit over a photo. I don't know why.
I really do. Because photos, vanity, me.
I was going to say, because you think you're pretty. Okay, go ahead.
I know. It's not alleged. Okay. So basically, this photographer, Michael Miller, sues for copyright infringement. And copyright infringement, we've talked about a million times. But copyright, basically, are a set of laws that protect somebody's original expression of an idea. One of them is a photograph. And so when a photographer takes a picture, they are the owner of that copyright, not the person they're taking a picture of. We've talked about this a lot of times, but a little quick recap. So Michael Miller had taken a picture of Tupac, and that same picture was used on one of the tees. And so Kendall and Kylie say they didn't actually, their defense, right? We didn't actually print or make the t-shirts. They were licensed by a third party vendor. And then we gave that vendor a license of our likeness, our pictures, and that t-shirt company, that vendor is the one that did both.
Superimposing.
So look at the t-shirt company, right? Because they told us they had the license to use that Tupac shirt or that picture on the t-shirt. So this is an interesting one because a year later, Miller, that photographer, agreed to drop the suit. And it's unclear if money was ever exchanged between, you know, Kendall and Kylie and then the photographer. But basically, they both agreed to just walk away. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay for their own attorney's fees because that was part of the fight. They wanted them to pay for it. So it makes me think that he probably realized that that was true.
That it was a bad suit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Another photographer, Al Pereira, sues them for same thing, copyright infringement. He had taken a picture of Tupac, Biggie, and Redman, which was also one of the t-shirts.
Redman.
Sorry, it's just the way I talk. Redman. And again, they point to that third-party vendor. Same defense. That's, hey, he said that he has the license over there. We gave them the license to use our picture. Go over there. To this, he goes, okay, fine. I'll take $25,000. Because he wanted like a crazy amount. He goes, just give me $25,000. I'll drop the lawsuit.
I would take $25,000. I'm not going to lie. If somebody offered me that, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Whatever. I don't care.
Just take it. And so while he says, okay, fine, I'll take $25,000, he then goes sues that third party vendor, which apparently Kendall was not happy about because she did her little research, aka she paid lawyers to do their research.
By Kendall, do you mean her attorneys? Okay. I just wanted to clarify that she did not do this herself.
I don't think Kendall's taking the baby bar like old sissy Kim is.
Well, Kim has taken it multiple times and not passed, but fine.
Oof. Okay. So Kendall finds out that this man, L, has actually filed over 450 copyright infringement claims in the last 3 years. And this pisses her off. So she sues him, countersues him for $22,000 to cover her legal costs for what she deems a frivolous lawsuit.
I'm sure she didn't pay that much.
I know, $22,000 to defend
this? She didn't pay that much.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, she's just pissed off at him, basically. Wants to teach him a lesson.
Well, I mean, she had like, quite a bit of drama around these t-shirts, so I get it. But, like, the legal drama does not stop there, right? So she's got legal drama around the Firefest. If you have not listened to that episode, we did an entire breakdown of Ja Rule and Billy McFarland and all the bullshit that they got into. Mm-hmm. But so Kendall, like a brief rundown, Kendall was paid $275,000 to promote the Fyre Festival on her Instagram. But when she posted whatever she was posting, I think it was like an orange square with like some hype around it, whatever, doesn't matter. She didn't disclose that it was an ad, which is actually now required by law when you're posting something that you're paid to post.
Correct.
And so as we know now, obviously, the Fyre Festival was a complete fucking shit show. And again, listen to our episode if you want to hear.
Cheese sandwiches.
About cheese sandwiches and feral wet dogs. Mattresses, feral dogs, we got it all.
Stranded rich people.
Yes. And so she's later sued by a trustee who's handling the bankruptcy case for the Fyre Festival. And she ultimately ends up settling for $90,000.
That's crazy to me, by the way.
Which is not a little bit of money.
Not, but she got paid $275,000.
And settles for 90.
90. It was still a good business deal.
For sure. She made money. I mean, by the time she paid her legal fees, though, like...
Oh, $22,000.
Net, who knows?
Yep.
And then last but not least, my favorite. Oh, so God. She had the ultimate PR blunder around Super Bowl. She was in a Pepsi commercial. And so Kendall, in all of her glory, because, you know, she is the modern day Martin Luther King Jr., like is protesting or pretending to protest. And she basically walks up to the cops with a Pepsi can.
Yeah.
And so because she's given the cops a Pepsi, naturally the protests are no longer violent. There's no tension. And everybody's just like Bessies and Tessies for life.
No one sees color after that Pepsi.
And people were like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're diminishing these racial protests to a can of Pepsi and saying that that's all it takes to solve the racial injustice issues that are happening in our country.
It was extremely tone deaf. And I rewatched the whole thing. Did you know the whole thing is like over 2 minutes long? I didn't know that until this episode because I was like, let me refresh my memory. Mm-hmm. And I can't, as an ally to the Black community, there were so few Black people actually in that commercial. I was just astounded. Like, there's a lot of things to be offended and astounded by, but there was like maybe a couple Black people in that commercial. And I'm like, well, maybe because Black people saw that and they're like, this is stupid. Like,
well, I think even more than her insinuating that a Pepsi can would like solve the situation, there were also conversations around the fact that the commercial had kind of mimicked this scene that got really big in this picture where this Black woman is standing in front of the cops and her dress is like blowing in the wind and they're face to face. And Kendall had a very, very similar scene in the commercial. And they were like, so you're like mocking this like very real moment that happened where this woman was like crying and trying to, you know, speak to the cops, etc.
Right.
It's like, whatever. Kendall had some misses. Momager Chris apparently is not
huge
woke. She huge was not mess. There to step in and help with the creative direction.
Stupid.
But on the other side of things,
Yeah.
She had some decent moments. In 2018, she had a cameo in the Ocean's 8 movie.
Yeah.
She was also recently in an episode of Dave on Hulu, which I love.
Now I'm watching it.
Love that show. You're welcome. Recommended it. In 2019, like I said, she's had some acne issues, so she had a partner. She had a partnership with Proactive.
Shady.
But then it all kind of falls apart again in 2021. She comes out with her 818 tequila and obviously appropriated a lot of Mexican culture and heritage. And so that was fun.
I feel appropriated. No, I just love that. My favorite thing about this, and we talked about it, I think, when we did one of the Kardashian episodes in season one, was that the 818 tequila is the area code of Calabasas, where she grew up.
Didn't know that. Okay.
It's like in the valley. And so I'm just like, so the tequila, the agave fields were from the 818 region of what Calabasas. Used to be Mexico hundreds of years ago. Like, how are you spinning this? 818 tequila. It's just like 90210 tequila. And you're like, no, that doesn't work. That's egregious. Stop it. And my thing was like, she went all the way down to Mexico to take pictures in braids and like a horse. And I'm like, that's what we all do.
It was not good.
That's all. Thank you. I don't even do that. Like, I'm Mexican.
You have enough hair for braids. That's why.
One thing. I can get a wig, first of all. Thank you. But I wouldn't even do that. Like, because I'm Mexican-American. I'm not going to go to Mexico and be like, here's me on the horse with my family. And I'm like, that's not, I don't even know these people.
Yeah.
Who are you? What are you doing? You're not my daddy.
I mean, she's tried to be better, right? She's done some philanthropy.
Yeah, she's helped some people, is what Nicole's trying to say, in various ways.
She's raised some money for, like, the Children's Hospital of L.A., the Robin Hood Foundation, like, various water initiatives for people in developing nations, Feeding America, and
nice white lady.
Kind of goes on. So I'm not gonna say she's horrible, she tries, but she just has some moments that miss.
Yeah,
you know,
she needs to just educate herself a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then personally, Look at, she's, we talked about this. She's a lot more private than a lot of her sisters, yep, right? She doesn't put her personal life out there. But we do know she's dating NBA player Devin Booker, mm-hmm, who apparently plays for the Phoenix Suns.
Apparently. I think most people know that.
Allegedly.
He literally just won the NBA finals in this year.
You know that because of your husband, not because you actually follow the basketball.
Doesn't matter. I still know it.
Allegedly. And then generally, look, we got to talk about the fact that she just has a lot more reach than is typical for someone at what we're talking about, a model, right? Typically these models are not really as well known, especially to like the younger folks, and she definitely is. I mean, she's broken the mold for modeling in a lot of ways because of that. And people talk about how she's changed the industry just given her social media reach, whereas a lot of models, like I just said, you know, they don't have as much wide appeal, typically limited to fashion, yep, other than like the few greats that we all know about. But otherwise, I mean, she is really an Instagram influencer. I mean, I think one of the last quotes I saw, she's getting 6 figures a post.
Crazy.
Which is, exactly. And she's done, in that vein, a bunch of promotional collabs with different brands and other things. I mean, Pepsi didn't really work out, but hey, maybe we'll try again. And these companies are seeing real boosts in their profits after she promotes them.
Yeah, but sadly, one company can't really say the same, huh?
Awkward.
So let's get into like the meat of today. So right. Kendall starts working with this Italian fashion brand called Lou Joe in 2019.
Okay.
And so they enter into an agreement where she's required to appear for 2 photo shoots for their 25th anniversary.
Sounds sweet.
So one of the photo shoots will be for the spring summer 2020 campaign, mm-hmm, and the other will be for their fall winter 2020 campaign and like various other obligations, including like social media, blah, 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 blah.
Promotion.
Yes. And so the contract says that Kendall will get $1.5 million plus a 20% service fee if she does both of these photo shoots, if she does her social media, mm-hmm, promos, and if she does interviews.
Question, yep, real quick. What's a service fee for a model? Like, what does that even mean?
It covers their skincare routine.
Is that what that means?
I mean, you need it to stay pretty. I don't know.
Just like a service fee is like when I DoorDash stuff. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And they're like, we need this service fee because we need to keep the operations. And
her
I'm just
walking,
like.
Her walking and posing.
Isn't
that's the
that
service.
The modeling? Like, I just
I don't know.
It's weird to me, but come on.
I'm making shit up.
Yeah, thanks.
And so ultimately, Lou Joe ends up paying out $1.35 million to Kendall for her services. And this includes like travel and other costs that come up along the way. And so the problem was that while Kendall showed up for the first shoot, she never showed up for the second one. Oof. And so here's what we know so far. The second shoot was originally supposed to take place in March of 2020 in London, but obviously COVID strikes then, so it's delayed.
Okay.
And so Lou Joe says that they tried to reschedule it multiple times and offered different dates and locations, mm-hmm, but that Kendall like wasn't very responsive. And even when she was responding, she was not proposing any like reasonable alternatives so that they could, you know, move this fashion shoot to like a time that worked for everybody else. Okay. And so finally, it seems like Lou Joe ultimately ends up settling on doing the second shoot in October 2020 in Italy.
Okay.
But by September, they claim that it was clear that Kendall, or Ken, as we'll call her.
Thank you, Ken.
Wasn't going to fulfill her obligations because she had stopped responding to like their several urgent messages about logistical planning for the shoot. Mm-hmm. So because she's not responding, right, like they've got no choice ultimately but to notify her that she's in breach of the agreement that they had signed and that they were terminating that contract.
Ouch.
So she responds and says that she's not in breach, that it was impossible for her to go to Italy in the fall, and like mentions some concerns about COVID, which is fair. Like I was not traveling at that time, so I understand.
Okay. Yep.
However, Lou Joe comes back and says that she, at the same time as saying that it was impossible to come, was violating CDC guidelines by engaging in international non-essential trips, mm-hmm, and having large parties with her friends.
Right. So basically, watch out for what you're posting. Because I do remember that time when they're like, I remember it being on the news that a bunch of rich kids were throwing house parties.
1,000%.
Right? It was like the YouTubers, the influencers, right? They were like throwing freaking ragers. And she was one of them.
Like the I bet you can't get COVID parties. Right. I don't think that that's what she was throwing, but people, rich kids were throwing
like
those.
Like a small soiree with my 100 closest, richest friends, because rich people don't get sick.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so on top of these like parties with her friends, they also said that she had literally just traveled to Italy in September 2020 for a shoot with Versace for a campaign.
So 1 month prior, you're telling me.
Yes, 1 month prior to the shoot that they wanted her to come out for.
In
and also around the same Italy. Time that she was not responding to their emails.
In the same location.
She was in Italy.
Because Italy and Italy are the same place, right?
And because of that, actually, it's worth noting that like they even, they being Lou Joe, allegedly offered to split the cost of her private flight for the Versace campaign so that she could do both shoots in one trip.
Okay. Okay.
The math ain't math.
So maybe her health concerns are around the brand Lou Joe because it's not Versace. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the issue.
Donatella was probably on site, so she felt a little differently.
She's like, darling, I need you to come. I don't know why I do that accent. That's not Italian at all. Okay. But let me just get out of that real quick.
Uh-huh.
So they're not happy because they end up actually suing her in August of this year, right? Just a couple months ago. Their claims, unsurprisingly, breach of contract. We've discussed this before, but a breach of contract means you didn't do something you said that you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're saying, Ken, you failed to show up for the second shoot.
Right.
WTF.
Yep.
Right? Another claim, breach of good faith and fair dealing. Duties of good faith and fair dealing. Fancy way of saying, hey, you're not trying to do good by us, by the contract. By the
contract, yeah.
You're evading your responsibilities, the purpose of the agreement. You're not performing your obligations. You're doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being a fuck up, mm-hmm. is what they're saying. So here, Ken, she purposely evaded the terms of her contract. She didn't work in good faith to find the second date because ignoring us.
She wasn't responding to emails.
Right. She's ignoring us. She kind of, you know, she's like, okay, maybe October 20. I don't know. Let me check my calendar. She's like one of those friends who are like, yeah, we should get together soon. And you're like, yeah, definitely soon. And she's like, how about next week? She's like, maybe soon. Maybe soon sounds good. And you're like, no, let's lock in the date. And she's like, yeah, totally. And you're like, what? That doesn't make sense. So Lujo is like, give us a date. Last claim, unjust enrichment. I love this guy. One of my favorite claims, because it basically means you have something that you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
We said we'd pay you money in exchange for services,
mm-hmm.
that service fee, and you got away with things because we paid you and you didn't fulfill the rest of your obligations.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't get to keep everything, the $1.35 million that they had advanced her because you haven't fulfilled your obligations,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And so they're asking for a minimum of $1.8 million, which is the cost of her contract, the 1.5, plus her 20% DoorDash service fee. They're also asking for attorney's fees, litigation costs, and additional damages. You do this at the outset of a claim, right? You say to the court, you know, you give us whatever you think we deserve.
But also,
at the minimum, yeah. we think we should get this, and yeah. our feelings are hurt. So if you want to give us more, please feel free. And again, in these claims, they're basically saying they add to that Ken never paid them back the 1.35. That's why they're saying unjust, just yep. for clarity, mm-hmm. right? And they said also, we suffered a lot of financial harm and damages as a result of her breach because they were forced to find replacement models and they restructured their campaign, their spring summer 2021 photo shoot, because Ken couldn't show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So make us whole,
yeah.
fix it.
Yep.
So where are we now?
So as of 3 weeks ago, Kendall hires Quinn Emanuel, which is like a massive law firm with really big clients, to defend her. They're a big one.
They scare me.
She hires Quinn Emanuel to defend her in the lawsuit. And as a fun fact, they are repping Jay-Z in the same lawsuit mm-hmm. that we covered mm-hmm. over the photographer in the whole
his bestie, his old bestie.
Yeah. What was mm-hmm. that guy's name?
Photographer. Mr. Photographer. Look, I'm a little rusty right now.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're repping Jay-Z in the lawsuit with that photographer over the picture from his Reasonable Doubt album that this yeah. guy ends up selling everywhere else. If you have mm-hmm. not heard that episode, go listen.
Right.
So anyways, Quinn Emanuel basically moves to dismiss the lawsuit, which means tell the court to like get rid of it.
It's trash.
Stop it here.
Mm-hmm.
And so Quinn Emanuel says, in quotes, this meritless lawsuit is about an Italian clothing brand's attempts to avoid its contractual obligations after unilaterally terminating a bargain for agreement in direct contravention of the explicit terms of that agreement.
Lawyers long are story so short, good about so wordy, talking too
so
much.
Wordy, so ridiculous. This is like a very Dory thing. You said nothing and everything yeah. and nothing at the same time.
What are they really saying, Nicole?
They're basically saying that like Lou Joe terminated this agreement. And that was like a breach of their own obligations under that thing for mm-hmm. like no reason, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that Kendall had performed the first thing. So like, what's the issue? And she's working on the second one. And so they claim that it's not her fault that the original date didn't work out because of COVID, which I don't think anybody's disputing.
Mm-hmm.
But that Kendall ultimately offered Lou Joe alternative dates to fulfill her obligations, but they couldn't come to an agreement. What do you think?
I think that this one is going to take some fact finding. I don't know if it'd be dismissed at this point because, mm-hmm. you know, on a motion to dismiss, you basically as a judge have to say there are no facts that even if were true would allow a judgment to be brought
yep.
forward mm-hmm. for just discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the facts are definitely in dispute. You know, you got to pull up the emails. You got to go through discovery.
For sure.
Go through emails, go through texts, go mm-hmm. through whatever, voicemails maybe, right?
So even the invoices to see if they actually paid her the money that they're alleging.
Right. That's in part. Yeah. And if I'm her, if I'm Ken Ken's lawyers, I'm going to say, show me the email, show me stuff where you tried. Because the good faith and fair dealing is the interesting claim to me, because I'm thinking, did she actually try? Because if she truly was ignoring their emails and all their requests to coordinate a date, I do think that that's not good, especially because what's interesting to me is the timing of it.
Yeah.
So they said specifically they wanted her for a set amount of time for their fall, spring, 2020, 2021.
It was fall winter.
Yeah, the fall winter. Yeah, I was like, oops.
This is not your wheelhouse. It's all right.
Thank you. With the fashions where you wear turtlenecks. Is that right?
That time of year.
You know, so maybe that might go like against her because they said you need to respond timely. Because if I'm her, I'm thinking, well, we can just postpone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other side of it is COVID.
It's very timely. Yeah.
So maybe COVID cuts against that, except then you go back, right? This is the back and forth.
But it's like a 6 month lag, right? Like, I think if it was like a month window where she hadn't provided a date, different situation, but like it was supposed to be in March, right? And they're pushing it all the way out to October. Like at some point between then and then, if you're having parties,
that's the problem.
You probably could have come to a fashion shoot. So to your point, actually, I think that like a judge is going to want to look at what the evidence shows and what the documentation reflects before dismissing the lawsuit.
And this is really interesting because we're living in a day and age where social media posts are going to be part of evidence.
For sure.
Because if you say that you're concerned about COVID.
Well, she went to her big sissy Kim's.
Yes.
Not 30th. That bitch is not 30. 40th she birthday wishes. Party she on wishes. That private island.
She's so going to hire you now
clearly
for that.
COVID wasn't too much of a concern.
Yeah. And look, if the most damning thing to me is if she really was in Italy for Versace the month prior, but she's saying that she's uncomfortable with going to Italy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable to travel during COVID. But if you're saying that and you had just traveled to the same location or similar one, that's going to be the thing that the judge is going to look to say, were you acting in good faith?
Right.
Because good faith, again, means you have to do your best to fulfill the obligations of your contract.
Mm-hmm.
So are there some holes in her argument?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where this goes. She's really luring up, though, with Quinn Emanuel. So she must think that she has a case because they're expensive.
Well, she's got money now. So she can hire the big firms because she just recently became the creative director of Forward. And it's this online fashion platform with like high end and emerging designers and brands. And so allegedly she's now in charge of like the look and the feel of the website. And she's going to curate her own edit of like brands and trends that people can browse. So we'll see what happens here.
I don't understand what you just said, but that's good. Okay. I heard that she's going to be involved in like Fashion Week for them too. The Fashion Week's a big thing, right?
Fashion Week. So like that's nothing new for her.
Yeah, look, I just know what Fashion
Week
is.
Same things.
That's a big thing, right?
You're saying terms now.
Is that like the Super Bowl of fashion?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it depends on like what city you're talking about, but sure.
Oh, there's multiple fashion weeks in different places.
There's New York, there's Paris, there's Milan, there's London. It's
Do they coordinate different weeks? Do they coordinate with each other?
Yes, they're different weeks. They're back to back, but different weeks.
I'm looking around. Yeah. Yeah. Producer Marge is
read the room.
I don't know this stuff, okay? I'm not high end enough.
All right. Well, what's your professional advice or unprofessional advice for Ken Ken?
My unprofessional advice is, girl, stop ghosting people. That's unprofessional, right? Like, you can't just ghost. You can't just be like, yeah, let's meet up. And then you ghost them. That's fucked up.
Here's mine. I feel like if you're going to party with your friends, that's fine. We all probably, like, could have been a bit better at some point during COVID. But at least put it on close friends. Like, don't just put it on your main feed. You
IG,
know what I mean?
Instagram, like, close friends. Yeah.
You gotta, like, act a little bit more covert.
I think it's funny because these, like, the younger generation grew up with social media, so it's just like so part of them versus me. I'll be like,
private.
I'm not comfortable with the vlogger.
I mean,
lifestyle.
I was afraid to even show, like, I would take like a hike. I was like, oh my god, is this passe?
Not COVID?
Is this passe?
Meanwhile, you have like a fishbowl on your head as you're hiking, you can barely breathe, but you're like, hey, I'm trying to adhere to CDC guidelines. Yeah, I think both are very good. Okay, let's segue into our Q&A.
Ooh. That was good.
Ooh.
Twin telepathy.
Ooh. Keep an eye out for our new
We're gonna do an album.
Hitting out on SoundCloud.
I was going to say, check us out on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/legallyjudging.
Okay. Is it backslash?
No idea. Okay. I barely know what an HTML World Wide Web is. Okay. All right. So what's the Q&A? What's the question for us today?
All right. So today's question is, so one of our listeners went to a professional networking event.
Good for you.
And so she, okay.
Those things are tough to go to.
Good for you.
Good for you, kid.
So she was invited there to like a group of people, I guess, that were working for this networking event.
Okay.
But then after, the people who had planned and invited her were planning an after party.
Oh.
And so they invited basically the people who worked for that company and some other people to go to said after party without inviting our listener.
What?
But she was like right there, right? So she heard the invite going out and nobody extended the invite her way.
That's effed up, yo.
What would you do? What's your advice?
I'd throw a drink in their face. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, Teresa Giudice.
I've been watching too many Real Housewives.
Clearly.
No, that's really messed up, actually. First of all, I'm sorry this happened to you, because that's not right at all. You know, what would I do versus what I would tell her to do are two different things.
Yeah.
You know, it's always easier for me to advocate for other people than it is to sometimes advocate for myself, because I've been in awkward networking situations where, let's be real, those things at the outset,
they're already horrible.
That's why they have drinks there, right? Because you need to get loose. Comfortable. You got to do your networking thing. I think that that was really messed up. And I don't know if I would be brave enough to say anything in that moment, but certainly after, especially if I had a personal relationship with the person that invited me, I would definitely have a conversation with her and try to understand what happened. Mm-hmm. And so for our listener, I say, you know, in that moment, I'm sure whatever you did or did not do was completely fine. Mm-hmm. Because look, we'd all be shocked by that situation. But afterward, I hope that you felt comfortable enough to ask that person what was going on. Because that's disrespectful to me. Like, you don't do that.
It's so rude.
It's really rude. Do you have any more? I mean, I have more thoughts, but I feel like you have some things on the tip of your tongue. Like, I want to go full on Tiger Mom and be like, who did it? Who did it?
See, I'm sassy. I have a hard time biting my tongue. So I would probably be like, I like to handle things in a sassy but like graceful way. So I would be like, explain. That event sounds great. Where are you guys going?
Uh-huh. Like, you would invite yourself.
Let's not make it sound like I'm thirsty, but like, I would make it clear, like, I'm standing here. What are you talking about? Because if you don't want me to come, don't speak about it in front of me.
Right. Yeah, that is rude. I think I would say something too. I would say something sarcastic, right? Like, wow, that party sounds really fun, except I have a better party waiting for me. And then just be like, oh, I have a phone call now, and then walk out.
Or be like, oh, you guys are going to Fridays tonight? That's fine. Fridays.
I'm going to Soho Nobu. House. Yeah, you would get super labely with it, you fancy ass. But yeah, I think realistically after that, I mean, I would evaluate for what it's worth, right? Like, what is this networking event?
Are
they even
your friends?
Is it worth going to go forward? Because especially like if you're helping them out with these events, or you're part of the planning process, or if they were trying to recruit you because maybe it's a new networking event or situation, maybe they're not worth it.
Yeah.
Go find a better one. Like, first of all, you don't deserve these types of friends.
No.
If you are friends with them.
You deserve better. Yeah.
And you also don't need them professionally. I'm sure there are other people who would be a lot nicer and graceful and respectful.
Come professional, network with us.
Yeah, we'll help you out.
We
reach out to us.
Professionals.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're nice.
Yeah.
We're inclusive. I'll say that.
Agreed.
We would never do this.
We invite everybody to everything.
That's terrible. Okay.
All right.
That was good.
Okay. So we're now moving into our exclusive content for our patrons. If you have not yet joined us on Patreon, come on over there, get some more fun, get some more content, get some more personality from Alexa and I. We hope to see you there.
Yes, please. Yeah. And until you do, you're just not going to know what's about to be said.
Know what's happening. All right. So tell your friends about the episode, about the podcast. Tell your friends who are extras, who may have been lead stars and box office bombs.
Yep.
Who
work your way up into failure.
Our maids or chefs.
Yeah.
Just tell everybody you know.
Anybody, really. We will take it all.
Yeah.
Please do. So thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.